coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the all share down 0.5% as well. As you can see, weighed down primarily by the industrial 25 space, it losing 0.8%. Resources 10 component down 0.56%. Financial 15 pretty flat by the finish. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Nesan Nair from Sasfin Securities. Thanks so much, Nesan, for joining us today. So we've had the JSE weakening today in line with global markets for the most part, with investors still wary of global economic growth and where that's headed. This has never really gone away, though, so that influence is pretty much dependent, I guess, on what dominates the headlines on a daily basis.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was the second straight day that we had a poor outcome on the market. But what's also interesting is that all sectors were actually negative. Now, you know, usually you'd have, and what we've become to used to recently is resources, for example, you know, mildly in the green with the industrials and the financials pulling back. In the last 2 days, we've had all sectors of the JSE come back. I suppose, you know, people would argue if you put it in context, we've had a fantastic year so far. You know, we're up in the double digits and it's only April. But, you know, you scratch your head and you think that old saying, sell in May and go away, might actually be applicable this year. Just because, you know, there doesn't seem to be any underlying momentum that the market needs to push it to that next level, notwithstanding the great results we're seeing out of the tech companies.
Absolutely. Without that underlying, you know, basis for any movement in either direction at this stage, we've got investors also very focused on company earnings reports that are coming through within the resources complex. It was Anglo American and its subsidiaries with their output report gaining attention. And we see how quickly investors react to those headline numbers. You know, output down, negative reaction on that share price. Gold Fields on the flip side of that, best performer on the top 40 index today, close enough to 5% rise coming through there, showing, you know, as it illustrated, that it would be hitting the mark when it comes to output.
I think, you know, investors in Gold Fields have for so many years been disappointed by what experience they've had relative to what the company's guided. That when the company came out today and said that it you know, it was going to meet that target, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of people. So we'll have to just wait and see, you know, whether or not the experience actually is the same as the guidance. Because, you know, normally after Gold Fields results come out, investors generally are a bit disappointed, but hopefully not this time.
Okay. How are you feeling about reaction to Anglo American and its subsidiaries? Because Anglo American losing over 2% today. And of course, that, you know, despite it saying that, yes, it's been a rocky start to 2019, but some positive stride now being made.
Yeah, so this was a quarterly production report for the first quarter of 2019, calendar 2019. So from January to March. And, you know, copper was the only one that was really up. So was Minas Rio, but that's in a ramp-up phase anyway. So on an adjusted basis, it was really copper that only performed to the positive upside. Everything else was down. Diamonds were down 8%. Platinum and palladium were down 6%. Iron ore was down. Metallurgical coal, which is, you know, what they use in order to make steel, that was also down. Not necessarily, you know, anything specific or anything that stood out as to why they were down. It was operational issues. It was issues around grade, which I suppose, you know, as an investor in a resource company, you kind of get used to.
Yeah.
But not a great start to the year for Anglo's. Bulletins, I suppose, you know, was in guidance as well. The only item that they were down on, I think, was iron ore. That was because of a cyclone. So, you know, I think the resource companies are going to have to play a bit of catch up in order to meet their full year production guidance.
So on the basis of those share price reactions to those company news items, one would think that it would be pretty easy to see what sways investors either way. But then we look at BAT, in good shape, expects higher earnings in 2019. Worst performer on the top 40 index, down 3.3%. What sense do you make of that?
Yeah, so the chairman came out with a statement today, just highlighting, or letter, if you can call it, to shareholders, highlighting what the company is doing and where they're going. You know, it It was a bit strange because, you know, we're not used to BAT chairman coming out with a letter, but I suppose Jack Bowles, the new CEO, needed some form of introduction. So this letter was a way of doing that. Of course, they did mention that the traditional, they call it combustible businesses now, which is what we understand to be traditional tobacco, which is the sort of 90% contributor to revenue. They're still comfortable that it's going to meet their guidance. Spent some time talking about the newer products, the new generation products, the vapes and the tobacco heated products. Growth of 26% on vape and 180% on... So all these things were actually meant to provide the investors with a little bit of comfort. You know, I'm not quite sure what the investors read into that, but the share price took a real beating towards the
maybe end. Reading the fact that they're trying to overcompensate for the fact that it still has this very big dark grey cloud hanging over it, and that in the form of regulations in the US and competitive threats generally.
Yeah, absolutely. But remember that the regulations seem to have died down in the last few weeks because, you know, the previous head of the FDA had resigned, and then a new person's coming in who's probably not as hard on big tobacco. But it was a surprise move to the downside.
Okay, quick look in on Alexander Forbes, because its share price skyrocketed on the announcement that it will be selling its short-term insurance business, and for a potential 2 billion rand. You know, some of those gains, of course, tempered by the finish with its 2% climb. A move that makes sense in your books?
Yeah, they did mention that they were going to try and limit the exposure to insurance or insurance underwriting anyway. They want to focus on their core competencies, which is the what we call the group life business, the institutional business. 2 billion, I don't know, we'll have to see, you know, because that's a fair amount to pay for a company in an industry that's so heavily competitive right now. But let's see.
Let's see. In the meantime, what's your stock pick?
I'm going to go for Microsoft. You know, I've been avoiding it for so long. But I think the current result and the last few quarters have indicated that they are really entrenching their position in the corporate cloud with the services that they offer and the reach that they have with their baseline Office products. So I think we're going to see very good things come out of Microsoft in the future.
Let's leave it there, Nesson. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Nesson Nair is with Sasfin Securities. What's your stock pick?
I'm going to go for Microsoft. You know, I've been avoiding it for so long. But I think the current result and the last few quarters have indicated that they are really entrenching their position in the corporate cloud with the services that they offer and the reach that they have with their baseline Office products. So I think we're going to see very good things come out of Microsoft in the future.
Let's leave it there, Nesson. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Nesson Nair is with Sasfin Securities.